Thank you. Welcome. Welcome. Welcome to the Phil Henry Show Classic Friday. Here then is Phil.
Thank you, sir. Hey, welcome to our Classic Friday, folks. It is the day of the week that, up to this point anyway, that we present to you clips, classic bits from our 20,000-plus-hour library on our website, philhenryshow.com. Why do we do this? Because we are, as we've said many, many times, are very proud of the work we've done down to these many years on the Phil Henry Show, a kind of satire and comedy that no one else has done. And no one else has certainly done it on radio, that's for sure, and not on talk radio ever until we came along. But it's one thing to tell you about it. It's another thing to demonstrate it. And we hope that when you listen to what we have in the archives at philhenryshow.com, that you will become one of our Backstage Pass members, and you will join our family of BSP holders and join us over there every day checking out these great, great shows. Somebody said, and I think we've mentioned it already, but I think it bears repeating, that you could sit down and listen to every single hour on our on the Phil Henry Show website in our archives, and it would take you 6 to 7 months without sleeping, eating, or, bud?
Going to the bathroom.
Right, going to the bathroom. Don't worry. I said he could do that, Margaret.
Yeah. Well, you know he relishes that. Well, what Phil is saying is true. These are very, very unique and very, very special hours of radio. Phil created something very special. We're all very proud of the fact that he did and very grateful that he involved us in that. Now, years ago...
Mark, can we move on?
Yes, sir.
No, just don't wait. Be too long-winded about it.
But be quiet. I've told you before. I don't know what you're going to look like wearing one of those dummy noses that Lee Marvin wore in Cat Ballou when someone bit his nose off. But I can tell you...
Let's not threaten. Anyway, folks...
I'm not threatening. That's not a threat. That's a promise.
You put a clown nose on me.
Yeah, to replace the one you've already got.
Right. Anyway...
Jesus.
Anyway, so this is... everything was going very peacefully. I don't know why the hell I let you guys into the... I don't know why I opened the back door and let you guys scurry in.
What do you think I am, a raccoon?
She said coon, Mr. Henry.
You shut up.
I didn't.
All right, so from December 29th of 1999, our very first offering is Bobby Dooley. She went to the market. She was going to get water. She was going to get food. She was going to get provisions for her family. Why? Because everybody was Y2King freaking out, Jack. So let's listen to Bobby Dooley as she gets into a hair-pulling fight with another woman at a supermarket over the last bottled water, the last gallon of water that is available there in the store. Here is Bobby Dooley, and this is from December of 1999. It is the bottled water and Y2K bit on this Classic Friday. We have a news story here. There was interesting because Y2K, you know, the new year is approaching. And at least one incident took place here in Southern California today involving someone who we are familiar with, the president of the Western Estates Parent Teachers Organization, Mrs. Stephen Dooley. She was involved in what was described by onlookers as a hair-pulling incident with Colleen Brandt, an assistant manager at a local major club store. Now, you know what I mean by a club store? These are the places you become a member, you go in, you buy stuff there. Colleen Brandt is an assistant manager at this store. Mrs. Dooley was a customer in the store, and apparently they got into a hair-pulling tussle, which wound up with Mrs. Dooley being pulled off of the assistant manager to the store. So there was this was a violent incident. We have Bobby Dooley on the phone with us tonight from Western Estates. And Ms. Dooley, good evening.
Good evening, Phil.
Embarrassing for you?
No, not at all. I'm a mother standing up for her family.
And tell me what happened.
Well, Phil, this was escalated by the store itself and by store personnel. I was in this store. I've been told not to mention the name of it, and I won't. But we were in the store today purchasing some provisions. There is something called Y2K, which is approaching. We were getting some bottled water. We had one case of 2-gallon jugs. Actually, we had two cases of the 2-gallon jugs of bottled water. They told us that they were limiting the sale of the 2-gallon jugs to one case. Now, I need to explain something to you before we get a little bit further into this story. I have three boys. I have a husband. We use a lot of water. We obviously would use it for cooking, for bathing, for drinking. We do drink an awful lot of water. And we are mindful of what our country possibly will go through on January 1st if the Y2K millennium, so-called millennium bug, is as serious as many people say that it will be. My husband believes that it's important for us to stock up. That's what we were doing. My husband also believes that it's important for people like us to survive should there be something serious that happens to our country, and that our sons need to survive, because God forbid, and I say this, Phil, in a worst-case scenario, but if we needed to repopulate for whatever reason, I think we need reliable and dependable people, and we need responsible people to repopulate with. And we do consider ourselves to be in that category.
So, well, what does all of this have to do with you taking more water than the store wanted you to take?
I explained to this woman that you're mentioning.
Colleen Branch. She's an assistant manager?
Yes. She at no time did she even have the common courtesy to introduce herself. I explained to her that I was purchasing water for my husband and for my sons. I had two cases of the two-gallon jugs of water. She said they were limiting it to one case. I said, I understand that you need to limit this for the other customers, but I have three sons. I have a husband. My sons attend Western Estates Middle School. I have a younger son who attends Western Estates Elementary School. My husband has a very successful landscaping business. We are prominent members of the community, and I will be purchasing two cases. My husband believes that that was the proper thing to say to her. At that time, she said, again, we are only selling one case of the two-gallon jugs. I said, well, I am not removing that, and that's when she went to remove it.
So, the store assistant manager went to take the extra case of water out of your cart?
Yes, she did.
And that's when you grabbed her hair?
I simply grabbed the back of her hair to pull her away from the cart. That's when she reached over and grabbed my hair. And we essentially went toe-to-toe. You have to understand something, Phil. I'm a mother, and I have three sons. You never get between a woman and her children.
Yeah, but Bobby, I mean, here you are.
Phil, you never, ever get between a mother and her children. And this is something that is very prevalent in nature, and it's something that we all know about in nature. If you come upon a den where a mother is guarding her young, whether it is a wolf, a snake, I don't care what, and you try to get into that den, that mother is going to tear you to shreds, limb from limb, Phil. And she got between me and my sons.
Wait a minute. All right, to calm down for a minute, okay? You're in a store. The policy of the store was to only take one case of the two-gallon jugs. You took two cases.
I had two cases. I told her I have three sons who attend Western Estates.
No, I know where your sons go to school. The obvious thinking on your part is you deserve the water more than the other people.
Phil, we have something called Y2K coming up. We have.
I'm fully aware of Y2K. I know all about it.
Okay. There is a good possibility that we will be without running water, and that it is going to be a free-for-all, and the strongest will survive.
And well, now you're talking like an idiot, okay?
I'm not, you know, I didn't call your program to be insulted.
No, but now you really are. Now you're talking like just a dime store idiot. Though the strongest will survive, for God's sake. We live in a civilization here. Act like a civilized human being, okay? We're only going to survive if we help each other. And this, everything that I have heard and read is that if anything happens, it will be moderate to mild at the very extreme. Now, what are you talking about?
I am talking about saving my family from what could be a disastrous Y2K event. It could be a non-event, you're right. But if what happens, what I think is going to happen, happens. Did you see the film Road Warrior?
Oh, come on.
Did you see the film Road Warrior, yes or no?
Yes, I saw Road Warrior.
Okay. You're going to be up for grabs along with everybody else. My family, and if we have to repopulate the Earth.
Repopulate the Earth?
Yes, Phil. If it's necessary. If nuclear weapons go off as the result of a bad computer programming. I think those of us who are educated and those of us who have the means should survive.
Okay, so you got into a hair-pulling match at a major club store today because you and your husband need to survive to repopulate the Earth. I got it. And this is the kind of idiotic thinking, of course, ladies and gentlemen, that permeates some sectors of our society and of our community. Imbeciles, idiots, jackballs, let's go buy water, let's go get generators, let's go get batteries, and let's be embarrassed on the first when nothing really major happens. And there you have a lady who got into a hair-pulling incident today at a department store with one of the managers. They're pulling each other's hair because she's got too much water. This is the Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry Show at 1-800-449-8686. Bobby Dooley with the Western Estates Parent Teachers Organization on the line. And this is obviously a black eye for the Western Estates PTO that you got into a hair-pulling match over at a club store today.
Well, Phil, you know something? I will explain that to them, and I don't think that that really is of any concern of anyone else's. We're in the middle of a Y2K experience, and we are trying to do the best we can. I went to get water. They told me that I couldn't, and I did what any woman would do, protect her family.
Any woman would get into a hair pulling match with an assistant manager of a club store right there in full view of everybody else because you needed water for your sons and for your husband.
That is correct, Phil. And my husband believes that they don't have the right to tell some of us that we can't have extra water. Some of us, I think, are deserving of extra water, whereas some of us probably are not.
And those of us that are deserving of extra water are who?
I would say they are the individuals who obviously will assist if, and it's a very big if, Phil, if there is a need for repopulation.
You're talking about repopulating the Earth because of what? Because nuclear weapons are going to go off?
Phil, I'm saying it's a very big if.
You're a big if. It's like it's not going to happen. You got every responsible agency in the United States of America, every responsible business, every responsible individual involved in computers telling you that at the very worst, it is going to be a moderate problem with computers that will be staggered across an entire year. Not some big blackout, not some big nuclear holocaust. And yet there you are getting into a hair-pulling contest at a club store with an assistant manager because just in case we need to repopulate the Earth, you and Steve and your sons need to have water.
That's exactly correct, Phil. And you can mock it all you want and misunderstand it all if you want. It is absolutely possible, and it you call it a hair-pulling contest. I call it a fight for survival, and I call it a battle for my family. And if any woman listening out there would understand.
Mm-hmm. All right, here is Fargo on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Yeah, hello.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you know, I want to know, who the hell do you think you are, lady? For one, when there's a limit.
Yes, there is a limit for some of the people. I explained to the store manager.
You're some of the people. You are the people.
I explained to the store manager.
Hold on.
I explained to the store manager that
I have. There is a limit for you. You are a person.
I explained to the store manager that I had three sons and a husband at home.
There are people with more kids than you.
Yes, and let's look at those families, shall we?
They have to apply to that same limit you do.
Let's look at those families, shall we? More kids. Who are they? We don't know. Are they responsible? We don't know.
Are you responsible? We don't know.
Yes, my husband has a very successful landscaping business.
Does that store manager know that you are a responsible person? No.
I explained to them that my husband has a wildly successful landscaping business.
Anyone could explain anything. Anyone could explain they want to a store manager.
I've been a member at that store for 15 years.
Well, she still doesn't know that you're responsible. Have you sat down? Are you guys friends?
The fact of the matter is this. I am a mother of three boys. Don't get between a dog and his meat.
Were your children in the store at that time?
No, they were not.
Then there is no getting between you and your children. Ma'am, there is a limit. And another thing, as far as repopulating the earth, what is that?
That's what I'd like to know. What is that all about?
Do you think that you've been chosen to repopulate the entire earth, that you are the almighty being that will repopulate, that you and your husband are just...
You can laugh all you want, Mr. Henry.
Well, it's funny. What is this repopulate? I mean...
Mr. Henry, you know that computer problems can arise which would cause a mass launching of nuclear weapons. And then what are you going to say?
Oh, come on, for crying out loud. There's a manual override on every one of those systems. You think the Russians want those? Even if the Russians got bad computers, they've probably had a manual override on those things since about 6 months ago that they wouldn't even have to deal with that crap, all right?
Same thing
here in the United States. You can't even launch a missile without a key and a whole bunch of crap. I know. I saw Crimson Tide.
Oh, you saw Crimson Tide, so you know. Did the gentleman in Fargo, you see Crimson Tide, too?
You know what? I have actually been to an Air Force locally here.
Wow.
And in order for a missile to be launched, you have to turn not one key, but a six or seven keys simultaneously.
All I'm saying is, if, and I told Mr. Henry it's a big if, if there is a mass launching of nuclear weapons, if we have a problem, yes, don't you want responsible people repopulating the earth?
How do we know you're responsible? Who says it's going to be you?
I have told you that my sons attend a very prominent school.
Well?
They're very intelligent boys.
So?
My husband has a wildly successful landscaping business.
Because your sons attend a very prominent school,
mm-hmm,
and your husband
mm-hmm
owns a very educated, that makes you responsible
mm-hmm
people?
So when I'm proven right, don't bring your radio
Hello?
Yes.
We lost her line. Is she there? Is the lady there?
Yes.
Go ahead.
You know,
when I'm proven right...
No, it's ridiculous.
Don't bring your radioactive
hairless ass
to my house for
ma'am,
water.
Ma'am, you are being utterly
ridiculous.
Getting into a hair-pulling fight with a manager over a couple of bottles of water...
Because you need that water to repopulate the earth. Let's not forget that.
When both of you are dying from radiation sickness, don't come to my home.
Well, I tell you what, Phil, when I'm dying from radiation sickness, I will call you and let you know, okay?
Give me a call, and we'll have a chat.
How about we'll have coffee and discuss the radiation?
We'll have a radioactive cup of coffee.
Wonderful.
Listen to the two assholes.
Oh, so now we're using language like that.
Now we have to resort to profanity, but
yeah,
we're responsible. If we have to repopulate, I don't want these repopulated children using that
question.
Kind of language, man.
How
I'm
will
sorry.
You make coffee with no water? Oh, got you on that one,
but
didn't
you've
I?
But you've got water.
Got
your
you
limit
on that
one.
No, how are you and Mr. Henry going to make coffee
your
without
limit,
water?
Well, you know what we'll do?
What?
We'll go to your house and loot your water. How about that? We'll go
right
to your house on our radioactive motorcycles, kick
will
down your front door, and...
And I suppose you'll rape me.
Yes, as a matter of fact, I will. I'll rape you, and then I'll take... Oh, my God. Thank you, sir, for your call, okay?
You're welcome. Thank you.
I have shotguns in the house.
Okay, great. You'll have shotguns, but first I'll rape you and then take your water. Phil Henry Show.
Will you plant your radioactive seed in me?
Bobby Dooley and the Y2K water. I thought that bit was worth it, if for no other reason than to hear her say, will you plant your radioactive seed in me? All right, so there's Bobby, and that's from December of 1999, and we're going to come back with another bit from the month of December, 2005, on this Classic Friday. I want to remind you guys that I'm going to be at the Los Angeles Podcast Festival this year, which takes place today through September the 20th, which is Sunday. And if you can't make it out to the L.A. area to catch the show, you can stream it live online at lapodfest.com. An online ticket allows you to see every show in the festival streamed live, and you also get access to the video archives for 3 weeks after PodFest ends. And if you use my unique coupon code, you get $5 off if you want to watch it online. Just go to lapodfest.com, click on the live stream menu item, and use my coupon code Hendry, H-E-N-D-R-I-E, at checkout. That's Hendry, H-E-N-D-R-I-E. And we'll see you at the L.A. Podcast Festival. All right, let's get back to our classic Friday today. And here's one from 2005. It's another from the month of December, and I wanted to kind of bookend these. Steve Bozell is featured in this particular bit. Steve started taking magic lessons via mail order so he could work kids' birthday parties on weekends. He goes to these parties as Magic Steve, and he does his thing, but the kids tell him that he sucks, and they'd rather be playing in the bounce house. Steve gets his feelings hurt, and you can well imagine what ensues. It's generally litigious, something having to do with a lawsuit, and that's exactly how this goes down. Here it is. It's our second feature on today's Classic Friday from December of 2005.
Paul and I was making note of your producers just striking a blow. A producer's just striking a blow, I think, for the for adults here.
Tired of being treated rudely by children.
I think that you have, in this country, especially here in America, you know, young people who are not... You know, I'm a little bit nervous.
But no, you're doing fine. Young people who are not respectful of adults?
I believe so, and I think it's time to do something about that. And so I had spoken to my attorney.
This is Ms. Blasingame?
Dolores Blasingame, yes, sir.
Now, she called us and told us that she was requesting some time to talk with you because the belief is the police are not doing the job, the parents are not doing the job.
Well, that's the point, Mr. Henry. The police are not doing the job, the parents are not doing the job, the schools are not doing the job, and the courts are not doing the job. But the only avenue that's left to us is civil litigation. I had, on October the 27th, I got my DBA from my accountant for a business called Magic Steve. And I paid for an ad in the Inland Empire Reader. I took out an ad in the Corona Times. I placed my card in supermarkets for the Magic Steve.
Now, this was to do magic at kids' magic shows. Now, you're also a construction contractor. This is a side job?
Yes, sir. I had taken the kind of a correspondence course on magic, and I gave the phone number on the card and signage along the rear gate. So I had taken this correspondence course on magic. And
all right, and you had purchased magic equipment as well?
Yeah, there's an investment of equipment. There's different coins, hats. There's actually an investment in animals, white rabbits and white doves, which are very docile creatures. And this kind of thing.
So you had an investment in time and money to start this business, this magic business, and you were going to work children's birthday parties.
Yeah, and so my lawsuit is dealing with the, I think, the only way you can deal with young people who have gotten out of control.
But I want to go back to where you were and what happened.
Okay.
Remember when you talked to us before, I said, make sure that you tell us what happened?
Yes, sir.
So you had an investment of time and money?
Yeah, well, I had read up on different magic tricks that you could do, and I had placed ads. Understand I was going to do this for children's birthday parties.
What kind of money did you charge to do a kid's birthday party?
Generally, you do a half hour, followed by special tricks. You go table to table doing different tricks. That's another half hour. So I charged $200 an hour, and I can tell you it was a real eye-opener, and it changed my opinion about how kids are raised.
All right, but all this wound its way into the courtrooms, and you have, as a result of this, decided to file a lawsuit against these parents, and I want to know when this happened.
Yes, sir.
So give me the date.
I began taking phone calls for the Magic Steve Magic Show on the 27th of December, and I booked three children's parties in our area pretty quick because these are people who are friends of ours. And the first child's event was January 8th, and that was when I was performing a simple maneuver. It's called a changing spot trick. You hold the card, and the spots seemingly change on a card. And it was at this party where one of the children, I wrote it down for my attorney, said, these magic tricks suck.
The kid said these magic tricks suck.
Yes, sir. Another child said something, why don't you saw a lady in half and this kind of thing. And I had done a trick with a white rabbit where I pulled a rabbit out. And one of the children remarked at that time, I know how you do that. You have two rabbits. So this continued, this kind of harassment continued for 10 minutes. And that's when I told Mr. Rolla I was leaving and that I had it right up to here. And I was getting out. Well, you know, while the getting was good.
All right, so this became a pattern.
It happened again the next week. This is when I had an emotional event. I was at the Longin home.
Okay, let me give our phone number out, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. I'm talking to Mr. Stephen Bozell, who was doing a weekend kids magic show. Now, you're at the Longin home, and you were doing this vanishing dot trick, and that's when the kids began wandering out of the room?
Yeah, I had commenced the show about 2:39. And by around 2:50, because my attorney told me to note the times, all the kids except like three had wandered out to a bounce house.
And you had a confrontation with Mr. Longden?
Yes, sir. I told him to pay me because I was leaving. I did not want to do it, and that was that. And I told him that it was emotionally stressful, that I might seek relief in the courts, and that's when he said, you know, to me, the sexual comment.
Well, what did he say?
Well, I said I was going to seek relief in the court, and he said, he was intimating that I was going to go to the court and get relief, as in sexual relief, from the court.
Okay. Were the children present when he said that?
No, they were out there. They'd already wandered out to a bounce house.
You see, you had said to him, though, sir, that you wanted to go out to that bounce house with a knife, didn't you?
No, I did not. All I said was, how'd you like me to go out there and pop the bounce house? And that's when he told me that that's when he threatened me that he'd go Bakersfield chimp on me.
And you took that as a threat, right?
Yes, sir.
What does that mean, going Bakersfield chimp?
It's a reference to the news story about a chimpanzee that apparently had attacked a man and very brutally mauled him.
So this guy's threatening to maul you?
Yes, sir. And so that's why we have decided to file a lawsuit against the Longden couple. And at the same time, I am filing a lawsuit against Sharon Sherrill, who is a very good friend of ours, for emotional damage. I consider Mr. Longden to have threatened me when he said that I was going to go get sexual relief from the court.
Well, now, all right, but here's the thing that I want to ask you. You got a magic show, and you've paid for a van, and you're driving around, says Magic Steve, and you have all of these things. Are the children not entitled to their opinion?
I think adults are entitled to their opinion. I do not believe children are, no, sir. And that's the basis of our lawsuit, that children, being minors, do not have the constitutional right to insult adults, to harass adults, and to make the ground, as my attorney said, those children made the ground fertile for Mr. Longden to make a sexual comment about me and say that he would, as I said, he'd say he'd go chimp on me, or go Bakersfield chimp on me. And that's when I said, okay, I'm out of here.
All right, because that is the basis of your lawsuit. You're suing these families for the children harassing you, saying that your magic show sucked, and all of these comments. And
I had studied a long time. I had worked very hard on trying to make the different tricks. And I did exactly two parties. I had leased the van. I have total expenditure probably of about $10,000, $5,000 down on the van and everything. And so what I'm saying to all parents and all adults, really, and what I was trying to say to your producer, Mr. Henry.
Right.
I think it's time for adults to, if you can't control the children through the schools, through their parents, through the police, that you can file lawsuits against their parents, which will force the parents to take a more active hand in the raising of those children.
All right, Stephen, I'm going to give our phone number out here, and we're going to go to a break. We may take some phone calls. There may be some people disagreeing with you.
Well, I can understand. I'm just saying that I'm speaking on behalf of the adults who are tired of it. And
Now, the only other thing I want to ask, you said you had an emotional event.
Yes, at the Longin home.
Okay, what happened?
Uh,
and I know that it's emotional for you, but what you started doing the... Am I hearing crickets and bullfrogs?
Yeah, I'm outside right now.
Where are you? Are you at your house?
I'm at a pond that we keep.
Okay. You did the magic show. The kids are wandering out. They're not interested. One of them said it sucks. And then what happened?
Well, I just felt this was only the second magic show that I'd done. And the kids are wandering out, and there's not one adult there telling them to stay and be polite and watch the magic. And I ran from the house. I was embarrassed.
So you ran out of the house and did what?
I sat in the van and just cried, I guess. And that's when this guy Longdon comes out. And I said, I want to get paid. And I said, I'm going to seek relief in the courts. And that's when he said, oh, what do you mean relief? Get some sexual relief in the court? And I said, Floyd, now you really tore it there. And I said, your kids are rude. And that's when he said he said I'd go Bakersfield chimp on you like that.
Okay, 1-800-449, hold on for a minute, all right, sir? And I know it's an emotional recollection. Stephen Bozell, it's a tale of owning a magic, trying to start a magic. He's going to children's birthday parties doing magic shows, and apparently some of the kids made comments that were rude. At the second birthday party he worked, he was doing the magic tricks, and the children wandered out of away from him and went into a bounce house that was outside. He apparently had some kind of an emotional breakdown. Not a breakdown, but he left the house in tears. The gentleman, the father, came out, and they had an exchange, and Mr. Bozell is filing a lawsuit for emotional distress, for threats. And he is saying this is one way to enforce the children not being rude, that you can sue the parents. And it'll be interesting to see. We talked with the attorney, and she said that this is unprecedented, but that it's completely within the civil law because children don't have the same constitutional rights of free speech that adults do. Adults have those rights. Children do not. 1-800-449-8686. Mr. Stephen Bozell, who had the Magic Steve business, that the constitutional right to free speech does not equally protect children.
That is correct, Mr. Henry, and that's where you get most people. So you tell people, I'm filing a lawsuit because when I was doing this magic show at the children's birthday party, these children made these comments. One child said, you know, I'm quoting, you know, your magic show sucks, and so on and so forth. And I said, okay, but that's an under 18 kid. Got no right to tell me that my magic show, you know, blows or whatever these kids say on account of the fact they're minors.
Okay, so, and your attorney agrees?
Oh, absolutely, my attorney agrees. I went to her and I said, I think this is where I got you. And when I talked to this guy Longdon, I said, I'm gonna sue you. And he laughed. I said, really? Watch this. I can sue you because your kids don't have the same constitutional right. And then you could see him sort of stop. Because he knows he's in over his head. And I think a lot of people listening right now who have children that are rude, brats and all of this, don't understand. Their kids don't have the same rights as the rest of us on account of their underage minors. And that's where I got him. So they start in, and when he made the comment about, I want to go Bakersfield chimp on you, and I'm going to get, and he made the crass.
Yeah, he made some crass comments.
Yes, sir. And then I said, okay, well, guess what? Here's where I got you. Your kid don't have the same, not supernatural, I was going to say, constitutional rights as I do. And then I could see his face go white, and he knew I was meaning business.
Okay, 1-800-4. So children, because they're minors, are not protected equally in terms of free speech.
That is the opinion of my attorney, and I concur, yeah.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. Bill, go ahead.
I just think that I'm not an attorney, and I can't argue what will go on in court. But this man is offering a commercial service, and most entertainers wouldn't expect themselves to be professional after studying a book and only having two performances.
I'm doing it for kids. How good does it have to be?
In his first two performances, he's failed to attract the attention of kids. If you buy a child a popsicle, the child has a right to decide whether he likes the flavor or not, and he may spit it out. I don't condone the children's behavior, But wandering away from you is certainly more polite than telling you again that your second was sucked.
Can I ask you a question, sir? Are you calling from a submarine or...
What are you saying?
Are you calling from a submarine? Because I'm hearing...
No, well, he's not calling from a...
I had my car door open.
He's got his car door open.
Oh, I'm sorry. I will say this. The child has the right to spit the popsicle out, but there's a question as to whether that child has the right to spit the popsicle out in front of the popsicle company representative. Because... of the constitutional right issue.
All right, now let me jump in here. We all realize that children don't have the same rights as adults because of their status as minors. They're not allowed to certain access to certain materials. They're not allowed to have certain other things that adults are allowed access to. You're saying this carries over to free speech?
Absolutely, yeah. And my attorney concurs, and we're gonna and then the father. Boy, you should. After he said he was going to maul me like a Bakersfield chimp, and then I said, "Guess what? I'm going to sue." You could see him blanch out white because he knew I had him.
Well, those are separate issues. Now you're talking about a verbal threat.
No, but that's it.
You seem to think that your constitutional right, by being a second-rate comedian, gives you the right to hold kids captive to a poor performance.
Well, I'm not a comedian, sir. I'm a magician. I'm not a comedian.
Well,
okay,
you're an entertainer. Let's say it that.
Okay,
way.
Yeah.
And
I studied under the
naive.
Well, I studied under the Bill Van Wetka system. I did the mail order system.
It doesn't matter if you've got a PhD. If your product isn't suitable to the public that you're trying to present it, they're going to make a decision whether they want to listen to it or buy it or use it or whatever.
Yes, adults.
I think you're being awfully naive.
Adults do, but children must be held in the room.
So the kids,
parent has that right, not you.
Oh, well, that's where the law is not clear. Legally, I feel I have the right to hold them there.
Oh, no.
And watch me do my magic. And for them to go out to the bounce house, I did have the right to say I wanted to go out and pop it.
Why did you have the right to say you're going to damage private property?
Because it was not private property. He rented it.
That's not your determination. Once it's on his land, he's responsible for it.
So, anyway, it's your Bill's opinion is that that you don't have a case. And
well, you know, he's my lawyer.
All right. Bill, thank you. 1-800-449-8686. Do children have the same constitutional rights to free speech? This man was doing magic shows for children's birthday parties. The kids made some insulting comments at one party. They wandered out to a bounce house and didn't watch the rest of his act at another. And you are also taking consideration you had some kind of an emotional breakdown.
That is correct, Mr. Andrew. I'm suing the Longett family as well as the Sherrill family for medical expenses relative to their kids being, you know, total just... brats and that kid who said I pulled a rabbit out of the hat, and the kid goes you blow or something like that, and said I know how that's done. Boy, it's all I could do, man. Not to talk about going Bakersfield chimp. I'd...
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Kermit, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, my name's Kermit Johnson. I've been a magician for 12 years now.
Yes, sir.
I've won some awards, and from what I'm hearing from this guy, first off, he's not took enough time to be performing yet. It took me 2.5 years before I did my first birthday party. You got to practice at that.
How good's it got to be for a kid?
Yeah, I don't care if you're doing it for kids. The parents are the ones that pay you. You have to impress them just as much as you have to impress the kids. If they're going to pay for you to be there, you've got to be good. Secondly, they're kids, okay? If they make comments, they're going to make them. That's part of doing this.
Let me ask something, Kermit. Did you ever have a kid come up to you and say your comedy, your magic blows on ice?
I've had kids say that trick stinks. I've had kids get up and walk past me. I'm talking right in front of everybody else and walk out. And you know what? That's fine. That's a couple kids. There's a bunch more there that are sitting there watching it. If they make a comment, okay, hey, your trick sucks. Your trick stinks. Yeah, fine.
Well,
that's one kid's opinion. But you're there to impress everybody else.
True.
To heck with one other kid.
Well, you had the good fortune to have most of the kids stay and watch. I had every kid except three go out to the bounce house.
I'm not trying to take anything. I'd love to see another magician. I mean, it's an art that's dying. We need all the guys we can get. All I'm saying is, first off, you need to take more time and practice before you start performing. Perform for friends that will be honest with you first.
I don't understand
what
he's talking about.
You say the gentleman's saying you got to.
I did the mail order. Study.
Yeah, mail order don't cut it, dude. All right, you want to be a good magician, you got to get good at sleight of hand.
I talked to a man by the... Do you know a gentleman by the name of Fred Compton? Okay. Fred sold me a frog costume that he had. He told me this was guaranteed material. I come out in a frog costume, And first thing I see, kids are out in a bounce house. And
well, you know what?
Well, a frog costume's not a magic trick.
Hey, David Copperfield can vanish off stage and appear on an island. That don't mean if I do it, I'm going to get the same reaction. We all have a different personality. You got to do tricks that play to your personality.
Well,
all right. Hey, listen, Kermit, thank you for calling and giving us a professional.
Well, wait a minute. I'm a professional, too. I made $200 at the kids' party.
Magicians are fun, and I enjoy them, too, Mr. Bozell. You studied for how long before you started your business?
Well, see, that's what I'm trying to say, Mr. That is not relevant to nothing that I'm saying. And
well, that gentleman said he did 2.5 years of study before he even started doing children's parties.
Well, the point is they're kids, and they're. But my attorney tells me that if I go in and I do a magic act for a kid, because they're underage, they're not allowed constitutionally the same free speech. So when they say, as this one child said, your magic blows, and I said to the kid, sit down before, you know, I said to him, you know, if you were my son, I'd smack you so hard. Oh, and,
well, that, boy, that's really turning the audience against you.
Well, Mr. Henry, I think I know a little bit more about it than you do, and I'm just saying.
All right, tell me before I take another phone call. Your attorney said that the harassment from the children and the unconstitutional expressions of these children began after you did something called the fingertip trick?
Yes, sir. The fingertip trick, or the thumb tip trick, it's a little plastic thumb, and it makes it look like you sawed your thumb in half, and you make the thumb go up and down, okay? And the thumb, it's a plastic thumb.
All right, so it's a fake thumb tip?
Yes, sir. That is correct.
Okay.
So I was about to do the plastic thumb trick, and it fell on the floor, so I reached down to pick up the plastic thumb. And I don't think most of the kids saw it. One kid in the front said he saw it, and that's when he said, you know, what he said about me, you know, blowing and everything.
Okay, but the thing fell on the floor, dude. I mean, that's not exactly...
But these are a bunch of kids. First of all, kids are pretty stupid. I mean, they're not stupid, but... And also, I've known the Longdons for a long time, and they're very nice people, but their kids, both of them are very stupid, and their kids are not. Their kids are stupid, too, so I'm working at it. Basically, I'm working my magic show in a house of dumb, you know, and so this one kid said that and let everybody know about it.
And you are contending he should never have said anything?
That is correct, yeah. Because that's when he said, you stink, and then they all went to the bounce house, and then Longdon come out and say, oh, you're going to get sexual relief from the court, too? And I said, okay, you know, that tears it. And he said, well, then he threatened me, and he said, I'll be on you like a Bakersfield chimp. And that's what I wrote down for my attorney.
All right, let me go to another phone call here. Todd, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead.
Hey, he mentioned that he felt that children should be forced to stay in the room.
Yes, sir.
Unless the parents have given you some form of authority, at best you're looking at a false imprisonment charge and going to jail. At worst, kidnapping.
Well, but by leaving the room, they don't have a constitutional right.
You cannot force them to stay in the room.
That's making a
sir.
Statement. Well, I think you're maybe not understanding the law, sir. Constitutional
I believe
right.
I understand the law quite a bit better than you, considering what? That I'm involved in law enforcement and you're a construction worker.
I don't know whether or not you. What's that mean? You're walking around a mall with a sew-on badge or something?
No, I'm a deputy sheriff.
Okay, you're deputy sheriff. So you're all of a sudden a member of the Supreme Court? I don't think so. And the Constitution of the United States says free speech. Yeah, okay, but no kid.
You're saying the mere act of those children leaving the room is an unconstitutional exercise of free speech.
Not only that, but telling me that I blow, telling me that I suck, and saying that they'd be all over me like a Bakersfield chimp.
The kids said that too?
Yes, sir.
And then when you dropped the plastic thumb tip on the floor and the kids said, you suck, that was wrong.
They were unconstitutional.
Didn't you say that you had threatened to pop the bounce house? Didn't I hear you say that?
Yeah, well, yeah, because the kids are all going out there in the bounce house. I said, man, I'll go out there, I'll pop that thing.
So you, in effect, had made a terroristic threat and stated that you had an edged weapon on
Hold
your
on for
person.
A minute. A terroristic threat? That guy said he'd be all over me like a Bakersfield chimp.
After you had made the statement that you had an edged weapon on your person
no,
and was threatening to use it.
No, I didn't. All I said was I was going to go out and pop the bounce house.
What are you going to pop it with?
Who knows? Maybe I'll just...
Exactly. Who knows? The implication is an edged weapon.
Well, that ain't against the law. And plus, I can stare at it and pop it. Are you going to arrest me for staring at it and popping it?
Well, what do you mean staring at it?
If I don't have a sharp weapon and I just look at it and it pops, and I'm happy that it popped, you can't prove I popped it.
Look it. I'm trying to stay on, and the officer is, thank you very much for your call, sir, is trying to say that you're imprisoning the children by holding them there against their will.
Well, then they shouldn't come to a birthday party where it's advertised that Magic Steve will be doing all of his tricks, and we put banners up 2 days ahead of time. Magic Steve will be here, Magic Steve will be here. And then I pulled in the van, and I had a loudspeaker on top that plays all kinds of carnival music. And then I come out, I had a bow tie and everything.
You had a bow, you said you were in a frog costume, right?
Yeah. It's got a bow tie that lights up and everything. Then I come out, and the tricks that I did, one of them was one that I looked up on the internet called Hiram the Haunted Hank, and another one was called Color and Book Magic Theme, and all disappearing ink and everything.
Well, but the tricks apparently were not that good.
That's got nothing to do with it.
All right, 1-800-449-8686.
Anyway, I want to say, so I went in and did the magic, and the kids said what they said, and that's when I told that one kid that if he was my kid, I'd smack his face right off. I'd smack his face clean off.
Well, see, dude, that's going to be, you know, parents are not going to like that, all right, just because you had an emotional event. Zachary, go ahead.
Yes, how you doing, Phil?
Fine.
Thank you for taking the call. First of all, I want to qualify the remarks made by the last caller. Obviously, he's very well aware of his job as the deputy sheriff because he is correct. The term is actually called false imprisonment.
Well, are you a cop?
No.
No, Zachary. Okay. There you go.
No, I'm a constitutional rights lawyer.
There you go.
Okay, I handle Bill of Rights issues, and I've done work for the American Civil Liberties Union.
Well, that's not necessarily a recommendation.
And
all right.
I can tell you this, that you cannot hold any person, regardless of age, against their will. Because according to what you're saying, sir, your argument would be the same as if you were to entice...
Wait a minute. If you're in the ACLU, you ought to be on my side. Why are you being on the other side?
Excuse me?
Why aren't you on my side?
I'm on the side of...
Let me ask you a question. You're in the ACLU. Is that correct, sir?
That's right. I've done some work with them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why don't you people, like, stand up for a white man occasionally? It's always...
This isn't about white and...
Well, the ACLU is always... If there's a white man's got a problem, they ain't never standing up for him.
Sir?
Okay?
It doesn't matter about creed,
yeah,
and color.
Well, that's what
okay?
you say, but
you need to... You know what?
Nine times out of ten.
Obviously, you've got some personal psychological issues.
No, I don't.
But the bottom line is, let's deal with the legal issue right now, okay?
Okay, the Constitution, according to my attorney, does not guarantee freedom of speech for people under the age of 18.
Okay, sir?
And for them
nobody,
to say that my,
no,
that
nobody, my no attorney, no one person...
fingertip trick blows his
tell
wrong.
You... Okay, no person can guide you to violate the law in either a criminal or a civil matter. Had you forced those children to stay, that would be, by all issues, a false imprisonment, okay?
See, that's what I mean. You're in the ACLU, and you're not even sticking up for me.
Look, I know this has been emotional.
But I could tell my attorney that you're violating the Constitution by not sticking up for a white man for a change.
Right, and...
Well, you know, you think that's stupid, but everything I read about the ACLU, always some
sir,
guy...
Sir, you know the nice thing about the law? It doesn't determine the difference between somebody's pocket, somebody's color,
really?
And skin.
How come you don't stick up for George Bush, then? You're always sticking up for, like, another rich guy.
George Bush didn't create a magic show, and children didn't think it was horrible, okay? This is about you.
No.
Not about
John
George Bush.
John Kerry created
not
a magic
not about anybody
show.
Else.
All right, look at
it.
You know, yeah, exactly.
Let's stick to the issue.
Okay,
let's stick to the issue here.
My
okay,
magic
the bottom
show,
line is...
I had the disappearing fingertip and everything.
Okay, we know that, but this gentleman's an attorney who's trying to talk about the Constitution, the very constitutional issue that you're talking about.
Again, sir, it would have been false imprisonment. The deputy sheriff was correct. And again,
well,
he also made the comment
you.
About the sharp object or any other object you would have used. Obviously, you have a problem dealing with people who disagree with you or don't like what you do.
No.
And that's a separate issue. But the bottom line is, criminally, it would have been the charge of false imprisonment.
Does that kid
had you
the...
forced those children
does that
to
kid...
watch the show.
Does that kid
morally,
have...
it would have been horrible just for the fact that they would have had to stick around for a show that obviously was lacking a lot of quality.
Well, I don't know what you mean. Look, is it constitutional for a kid, after I do the zombie floating ball, to say he's going to be on me like a Bakersfield chimp? Yes or no?
We're talking about a child. You're an adult. Try to act like one.
There you go. Well, okay, I will act like an adult when the ACLU starts sticking up for George Bush and other white men.
Oh, come on.
Oh, jeez.
All right, listen, okay. Thank you very much, sir. 1-800-449-8686. Okay, Stephen Bozell, who is a man, been in the news today. He had a magic show, a magic business. He went around doing magic acts for kids. Apparently the kids thought it sucked. He thought that that was not, they don't have the constitutional right to say he sucks as a magician. You'd taken a mail order magician course. You purchased the equipment.
That is correct, and I have the bills, my attorney.
Okay, I don't want to talk about that right now, but you purchased the equipment. Now, this entire children's party culminated with a trick called Arrow Through the Head, correct?
That is when it turned. That's when I almost started smacking the kids. I was going to, at that time, I just wanted to wade into them and start swinging. And I can tell you, I got three children of my own, so that was tough.
All right, what happened? This is called the...
This trick is called Arrow Through the Head, and I said, and it's a trick that is, in the brochures that I read, is a guaranteed trick. And all it is an arrow where you put a band of metal. It's right, it fits right on the top of your head, but it looks like the arrow's going through your head. And I said, now, I'm going to do a magic trick, and an arrow's going to come through my head. And the kids were all, by that point, saying I sucked and everything. But anyway, I said, this is the one I'm going to do. So I put the arrow on my head.
How did you make it appear the arrow was shooting through your head?
Well, in the book, it tells you to swirl scarves around and say there's an Indian up in the mountains and everything, and swirl scarves around your head. Well, while you're swirling the scarves around your head, you slip the arrow on. And I did everything, and that's when they went out to the bounce house, and that's when I had to hold myself back from just wading right into the group of them and start swinging.
Man, and you're blaming the kids for that?
I am blaming Mr. Henry for the 900th time the fact that the Constitution don't guarantee them the right to walk out on me when I'm doing the Arrow Through the Head Act and everything like that.
Okay, 1-800-449-8686. Kara, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm just listening right now, and I'm a storyteller from East Tennessee State University. I'm just finishing up my master's degree, and I've had the similar experience of having children walk out on me while I'm telling a story. And quite frankly...
Well, what's so good about that?
There's nothing good about it, let me tell you.
No, I mean, what's so good about going to a storyteller? I'm doing magic is what I'm trying to say.
Well, what I want you to understand is that it's a very similar situation. You're hired to go into a situation and entertain children, and they don't always receive you the way that you would like them to. And trust me, I've had some bad shows. Kids that got up and walked out, kids that didn't sit still, kids that said, I've heard that story before, this is how it ends, and tells the ending of the story that I have prepared. Well, it's not the same thing as magic, but in a lot of ways, it's a similar performance situation.
Right.
And the deal here is that kids are kids, and they're not stupid.
You should contact
my attorney. The problem is that they are at a very different developmental level than you think they are.
You should contact my attorney, because technically they don't have the right to walk out, and especially impede your right to make a living by telling the ending of the story.
It doesn't matter if they have the right to walk out or not. They're children, and they are not legally responsible for their own actions. That's just the sad truth.
That's why I'm suing their parents.
That's why I'm suing the parents.
And the other thing, I think if you're a storyteller, you should come up with some stories that my kids haven't heard before.
I mean,
didn't you want to smack that? But didn't you? I wanted to wade right into them and start swinging just wildly.
You know what I discovered after I got done was that I could identify exactly what I had done wrong, and I learned from it.
What did you do wrong?
And I didn't get up. You want to know exactly what I did wrong?
Yes, ma'am.
I did not identify with the audience that I was talking to, and I did not connect with them.
And Steve, if I could just jump in, Kara, wanting to wade into the group of kids and start swinging, that's definitely not identifying with them.
Oh, absolutely not.
Well, now it's in the hands of my lawyer, so...
Well, Steve, I can tell you this.
And I put the arrow through my head and everything.
There he is, Steve Bozell from December of 2005, and that magic act of his that just sucked on wheels, and the kids let him know it. I think that's classic Steve Bozell, and like I said, that's one that sort of bookends the 1999 bit. We appreciate you guys listening to us and listening to our Classic Friday. This is a feature, like we say, that allows you to get a, you know, kind of a free glimpse into the archives of our radio show at philhenryshow.com. If you like it, we'd love for you to come over and join our BSP family. That's a backstage pass, and it gives you access to over 20,000 hours, along with the video casts, along with all kinds of archival video casts, different kinds of radio and TV interviews and shows that we've done. Lots of stuff. And, of course, we do have our daily classic podcast that we provide for our subscribers as well. We'll see you guys next time, next Friday, for our Classic Friday show. And, of course, we'll see you on Monday for the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Come on out and join me at the L.A. Podcast Festival. I'll be there tomorrow, the 19th, I think, right?
I don't know. Yeah, I got to call him up.
Somebody figure it out, okay?
Phil, that is your responsibility.
Anyway, we'll see you this weekend at the LA Podcast Festival. And until Monday,
this is General Kalen. Can I do it?
Go ahead.
This is General Kalen Shaw. Don't piss me off.
The world famous Phil Henry Show is executive produced by Phil Henry for Siempre Incorporated, all rights reserved on Podcast One.